You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com.
You're listening to The Western Rookie, a hunting podcast full of tips, tricks, and strategies from seasoned Western hunters. There are plenty of opportunities out there. We just need to learn how to take on the challenges.
Hunting is completely different up there.
I've harvested 26 big game animals.
You can fool their eyes, but you can't fool their nose.
300 yards back to the road turned into 3 miles back the other way.
It's always cool seeing new hunters go and harvest an animal.
I don't know what to expect.
If there's anybody I want in the woods with me, it'll be you.
Welcome back to another bonus episode of the Western Rookie Podcast, brought to you by Go Hunt. Today, we are doing part two of what is likely going to be the biggest application of the season. If you listen to Friday's episode, we covered the Colorado mule deer application breakdown. Today, we are covering the Colorado elk and antelope application breakdown. But before we do, I want to say one more time, Go Hunt is having one of their biggest sales ever on Insider. Starting March 24th, which is the day this podcast, this bonus episode goes live, through Sunday, April 7th. So perfect timing for anyone that's doing their Colorado applications, or maybe you're still doing your Montana applications that are due on April 1st. This sale is perfect because they are giving you $100 of gear shop credit when you sign up using the code WESTERN. That's right, $100 in free money inside the Go Hunt gear shop, where they have all kinds of the world's best gear for Western hunting. And the greatest thing is, it's the value Insider brings is unmatched on top of the discount and the savings you're going to get. You know, you've been hearing me talk about it week in and week out in these bonus episodes and in a lot of our full-length episodes, how I'm using Go Hunt Insider on all of my hunts. We talked about it last time on the bonus series. I'm using filtering 2.0 to find all of the units I've ever hunted in the West. I'm using draw odds to make sure I can draw the units that I'm interested in. I'm using Go Hunt maps on all of my hunts for private land, public land boundaries. 3D mapping is a big thing. I'm using all of the layers they have. One big one in the West, especially for me as a Midwesterner going to the West, I want to make sure I'm hunting areas where the animals actually are. And so having those winter, summer, and fall ranges, those overlays, is huge for me. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff. They got Point Tracker now, where you can keep all of your points in one spot. So if you're ever wondering, you know, how many Utah points do I have, you don't have to go sign into the Utah page and log in and see your points. Or same for Colorado, Montana, all these things. You can keep it all in one spot. The Hunt Planner tool, I've been recently using this crazy, planning out different hunts, storing all the units that I'm interested in, like for this upcoming antelope season in Wyoming. I've got 8 units in my Hunt Planner right now that I'm looking at, trying to decide which unit we're going to apply for, which is going to be the best fit for us. So there's all kinds of great tools inside Go Hunt. You also get access to all their application strategy articles, all their state breakdowns. Like this application strategy articles, where I'm taking a little bits of information from here and there for this episode. So if you want the full breakdown on Colorado elk and antelope, you get that with your Insider membership as well. It is truly a phenomenal value. Go Hunt never raises their prices. They only increase the value that they provide. Now they even have filtering inside the Go Hunt app, so you can be on the couch watching a movie looking at what elk and antelope units you can draw in Colorado this year. So go get signed up. Go check it out. You guys are really going to see why I love Go Hunt so much and why they're the title sponsor of the Western Rookie Podcast, because they are amazing. And use the code WESTERN when you sign up, and you're going to get that $100 of free credit. So go over there, get signed up, give us a DM or a message on what you're going to use your $100 credit for. With that, let's dive into the Colorado elk and antelope application. So the deadline, April 2nd, 8 p.m., Mountain Time. Do not wait till the last minute. Colorado offers a true preference point system. You can have any number of people, residents and non-residents, combined in your party application, but they won't overallocate. And the leftover tags come up in a second drawing, and if there's any leftover after that, it's first come, first serve. So we're going to talk more about all of those details below. First up, how do you apply for the tag? So, great thing about Colorado, you do not have to front the cost of the tag, but you do need to have a valid hunting license, which is typically $100 for non-residents. The elk license itself is $803. The antelope license is $481.50, same as deer. Youth licenses for both of those are $122. So if you've got a youngster in your family or that you'd like to bring out hunting, it's significantly cheaper to get them an elk tag than it is yourself. So that's nice. Let's talk about the group applications a little bit. You can have unlimited number of residents or non-residents in your party, but the kicker is Colorado will not over-allocate to draw your party. So if there's five tags left for your unit and you've got six people in your party, when they draw your name, they're going to throw it out because they don't have six tags. So make sure you know that. Make sure your unit has enough, especially for non-residents, has enough allocation to even succeed. You're like, if there's only five tags available for non-residents and you apply as a group of six, you're just automatically counted out. So just make sure that, try not to get your parties too big or else, you know, no one draws. We're going to talk a little bit more about the details below, but the preference point system. So they have the simplest system out there. Aside from true lottery, like Idaho and New Mexico, Colorado's preference point system is as simple as it gets. Whoever has the highest points gets the tag. So if there's 10 tags available and the highest point level of an applicant is, let's just say, 37 points, max points this year, I believe, 39, 38, they're going to get the tag. Now, if nobody else draws all the way down to maybe 9 points, let's just say that one person threw in a random app, there's 9 tags left. Three people apply with 9 points. All three of them are going to get a tag. Now it goes to 6 tags left. They go down to 8 points. Did anyone apply? Maybe not. 7 points. How many people applied? Well, maybe there's 7 people that applied at 7 points. So 6 out of the 7 are going to get the tag. So that would be a random portion of the draw. That 7th person is out, and everyone below that, 6 points and under, is out. There's no chance for you to draw a tag if you have, you know, 3 points in that example. Like Wyoming, Montana, they all have these random 0 point pools. Colorado doesn't have any of that. There's no bonus points. There's no squaring, none of that business. You just have to have enough points, which makes it really nice to use tools like Draw Odds and Filtering 2.0 because you can see exactly where you're going to land. Did you have 100% chance of drawing last year? Did you have less than 100%? Was it zero? If it's 0 points last year, it's generally going to always be 0 points this year, unless something crazy happened. Point creep always goes up. So even if you have 100 points, 100% last year, point creep goes up, so you might not have 100% this year. That's what they call point creep. It always generally goes up across the West, so be aware. I always like to look at draw odds and see, you know, how much cushion was there last year. If I'm at 100%, was the next point level down 100%? Was it 50%? If it's like 5%, that means that point creep's probably going to go up. That point level's probably going to be zero this year, and even my point level might not be 100% this year. So that's why I love draw odds. It's also why I love true preference point systems. It makes it really easy to guess where you're going to be. It's never certain, but it's really easy to understand. These bonus point systems are always really tricky. Random draw odds, very tricky to get, you know, limited entry tags because you're just banking on a 5% chance. Preference points, you can have a little bit more certainty with it. So we'll go with that. Another thing to know for Colorado, same as the mule deer, 25% cap on non-resident tags for units that are 0 to 5 points, which means if they allow 100 tags in this unit, only 25% of those can go to non-residents if the unit can be drawn with less than 6 points. If the unit takes 6 or more points to draw, 20% limit for non-residents, which is really favoring residents. That's different from 35% last year, so be aware that point creep might hit a little harder in some of these units. When we're talking about points in Colorado, one of the key things to understand is you need to submit an application to get a point. Montana, Wyoming, a few other states, you can buy a separate point at a later date in the fall or in the summer. In Colorado, you need to submit an application during the draw period to get your point. The elk point code, so you'll, if you want a point, you'll put as your first option the elk point code, which is E as in elk, P as in point, 99999, P as in point. For antelope, it's the same thing. It just starts with an A, A for antelope. You must put that as your first choice. Now, here's where it gets interesting. You have the option to build points and draw a tag in Colorado. If you put your first choice as the point code and your second choice as a unit that typically does not sell out or does not have full, does not give out all of their tags on the first draw. And this is really easy since since they only look at your first option for your points, your option codes 2 through 4 are just random chance. So if they don't sell out, you can go on to filtering 2.0 or draw odds, put in non-resident second choice, and see what units you have 100% chance of drawing. So it's a little bit of a hack to get a tag that's not over the counter, but also build points at the same time. And so that touches a little bit on the hunt choices. Like I said, there's 4 choices. They'll look at everyone's first choice first, and that's where your points apply. If you cannot draw your first choice, they put your application down again. They go through all the rest of the first choices. Then they come back and they do the 2nd through 4th option. And if there's tags available, you could get the tag. At that point, it's just random chance. So, like I said, use filtering 2.0, use draw odds, find out what opportunities you have to build points while also drawing a tag on your second choice. On the group apps, like I said, you have 1 group leader. Everyone must apply for the same hunt code. The only thing that can change is male versus female tags. You have to have the same archery. You have to have the same weapon type. You have to have the same unit. If you do rifle, you have to have the same season. The only thing, for example, for elk you could change is whether you had a bull tag or a cow tag. If anyone messes that up, the whole group suffers. So make sure everyone in your group understands that. Make sure you have a group leader that knows what's going on. And once again, Colorado will not over allocate for group apps. So be careful how many people you throw into your group application. Now, how do leftover tags and second draw tags work? So, great question. Any tags that are not given out in the first draw go up for a second draw later in the spring. Anyone can apply for this. You don't have to apply for the first draw. It's all random draw. There's no points that go in the second draw. You must still have the hunting license. If there's any tags left over after the second draw, they go up for sale first come, first serve in August. Now, here's where it gets interesting again. In Colorado, you can return your tag 1 of 2 ways. You can either, after the draw, refuse the license and restore your points, or you can pay the license and obtain the license, but then you decide later that you can't go on the hunt. You can return it up to 30 days out from your hunt. When you do that, though, you can either get your points back or you can get the tag price back. You can't get both back. So there's going to be leftover licenses each year. The leftover licenses go on sale August 6th. They are available in late July. You know, the list comes out late July. On August 6th, you can buy these. First come, first serve, online, call, in person. After August 6th, every Tuesday, a new list comes out, and Wednesday, they go for sale at 11 a.m. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. If you've got a lot of flexibility in your calendar, maybe you just cruise every Tuesday to see if there's any really good tags that got returned because somebody couldn't go. Very interesting option there. Now if we go moving into the season, so that's how you get a tag. Now let's talk, you've got a tag or you're looking to apply, what seasons are there? So archery, same as the mule deer, September 2nd through the 30th for elk. First crack, this is going to be the rut seasons for anyone that wants to chase bugle and bulls. Muzzleloader, 14th through the 22nd, so it lands right in that third week of September, usually peak rut activity that third week. It's going to correlate with archery hunters, so you might see either archery or muzzleloader hunters, you might see more pressure that third week because there's both seasons open. Moving into the rifles, there's 4 rifle seasons. First rifle, October 12th through the 16th. Second rifle, 2 weeks later, well, 1 week later, October 26th through November 3rd. third rifle November 9th through the 15th, and fourth rifle November 20th through the 24th. So it just depends on what kind of elk hunt you want. First rifle, you're probably going to still see some herds, maybe even some bugling. Second rifle, by then, these mature bulls are probably starting to move off into their sanctuary areas. The cows are probably starting to head down to the winter range. Third rifle, November, you're probably looking at late season type hunting. Weather conditions might push these bulls down to the winter range. Fourth rifle, I would expect to see most elk at the winter range by then, especially if there's any weather. If there's no weather, maybe not, but those are the elk seasons. Antelope, a little bit simpler. There's an archery season, August 15th through September 20th. The muzzleloader season, after that, September 21st through the 29th, so they don't have the same seasons going on in the antelope world. And then there's only one rifle, October 5th through the 13th. So those are your antelope seasons. What we're seeing this year in Colorado, we covered this in the mule deer episode, but the snowpack and the drought status. Real mild snowpack this year. Most of Colorado's within a roughly 100% of average snowfall, and the drought status is looking pretty good. None or mild throughout much of the state. So this is a good year to potentially burn your elk or mule or your elk or antelope points, mule deer as well, because you never know what can happen in the future. And like we'll talk about below, there is some risk to just building points, chasing some of these top tier units. But overall, conditions are so good so far for the 2024 season in terms of weather. On the elk breakdown, you know, Colorado, king of the mule deer, it's also king of the elk. The world's largest elk herd is in Colorado with over 300,000 animals, so it's the largest elk herd in all of America, obviously. And it's the only state with a true over-the-counter option for elk. Now, the kicker is every year more and more units are transitioning to draw units, but for now, Colorado is the only true over-the-counter system. So Idaho technically has an over-the-counter system, but it's limited. First come, first serve. Colorado's over-the-counter system is truly unlimited for now. So you're going to see more pressure in some of these over-the-counter units, but if you're willing to work a little harder, there's still good elk hunting to be done. And in terms of good elk hunting, you know, Colorado is not necessarily known for a trophy elk state. It doesn't have the same trophy potential and quality that its neighbors have. Speaking of Nevada, Arizona, Utah, New Mexico, basically all the south and west of Colorado typically has higher quality elk hunting, but nothing beats Colorado in terms of elk opportunity, and pretty much every state unit in the state of Colorado has 340 caliber bulls. And so there is still a lot of big bulls in Colorado. Now, the kicker here is the top units in Colorado are no secret. The northwest corner by far is the Colorado's most famous area for elk hunting. Units 1, 2, 10, and I believe 201. I mean, you can look them up. You're going to need near max points to draw, especially the rifle tags in these units. But you're looking at 350 to 360 inch potential. There's a couple of borderland units around the southwest border of Colorado that have some really good potential. I believe the best is actually on the southern border. You can get into some 370 potential. So this is all obviously generality. I mean, 350 to 360 plus, 370 plus, there's obviously bigger bulls out there, but it's going to take a lot of points to draw. Some of these units are going, especially for non-residents, to top point holders, which is 38 or 39 points this year is the top. So that comes into a good question. Is Colorado a state you want to build double digit points in? Should you be waiting over a decade, two decades, even close to four decades to hunt Colorado? My gut answer is no, it's not worth it. The quality in Colorado for elk is not worth 40 years of applications. It's not worth 20 years of applications. You can maybe make a case for 10 years, but typically not. And so I think it's a great spot to build points and then burn them fast. And the reason is, you know, a lot of these people that are waiting for these top tier units have been waiting for decades. That, you know, if you're in, and we'll talk about it in the 20 plus point bracket, but if you're in that 20 plus point bracket or 30, near 40 max points, you probably want a specific unit in a specific season. That's what you got in mind. But the thing is, it might not be what it used to be when you started building points. Things change, seasons change, migration routes change, herd dynamics change. All kinds of things can happen, and that might not be the hunt you're expecting. regulations could change. Wolves could change. We're seeing that this year in Colorado with the wolf reintroduction. All these things can change, and you've been waiting 40 years for some tag that might not be what you want when you come and draw it. So personally, I don't think it's worth hitting 10 points in Colorado. My sweet spot is zero to five. Zero is the over-the-counter option or the units that don't sell out. I'm really thinking 3 to 6 is probably the sweet spot for Colorado. It's still a state for now that you can hunt every year if you don't draw anything else. But for drawing a tag, I'm going to say that 3 to 6 range. What we're seeing in the application strategy article, you can still obviously build points and draw second unit tags. There are, let me look, on filtering 2.0, for example, as a non-resident, second choice 100% draw odds, there are 59 units that have a season you can draw with 0 points as a second choice. So there's 59 units that you can draw while still building elk points. That's the great thing about Colorado's elk herd and the opportunity to hunt elk there. So what should you expect? If you got 0 to 8 points, this is the sweet spot. Lots of great archery and muzzleloader units, some great rifle units too, typically not first or fourth season. Some of them are available, but there's lots of great units, lots of trophy potentials within 280 to 340. This is where I spent my points. If you guys listen to the podcast, you know 4 or 5 years ago, there was a fluke in Colorado system. I got 4 extra bonus points, so I spent them. And I had a 5 points going into the draw. I drew a 5-point unit second rifle, shot a great 280 bull, solo hunt, great experience. You guys have heard the story on the full podcast, but that's where I spent my points. So I walk the talk right now. 0 to 8 points, by far the sweet spot. When I was looking at this unit and when I was looking at what I can do with 5 points, I realized there's not a lot of better options out there above 5, 6, 7 points. It was at that time I had to wait for 12 points to get anything better, and I didn't want to wait 7 years. Which gets us into the next point bracket, 9 to 12 points. When you hit 9 to 12, you're really starting to be in the no man's land. That's what I found. That's what the people at Go Hunt say as well, especially as a non-resident. There's not a lot of new options that you get from the 0 to 8 level. You know, it might not be worth a decade or more of points for these units. When you get to 13 to 20 points, it gets even worse. There's like 0 units that I would personally apply for at 13 to 20 points that are better than 0 to 8 or even 9 to 12. So now, I'm going to break this down. If you're not at these point levels, I recommend use your points before you get there. If you're at these point levels, you got to ask yourself, do you want to keep going and try to get a top-tier unit, which is going to take you 20-plus points, or are you going to bite the bullet and unfortunately burn a couple of wasted points, but just go hunt? I've always leaned this way. Elk hunting every year is the best way to shoot big bulls. If you want to shoot big bulls, hunt elk every year. If you can, hunt the same unit every year. And eventually start finding places in that unit where big elk live. Like I said earlier, almost every unit in Colorado has a 340-inch bull running around. And almost every elk hunter will tell you that a 340-inch bull is huge. So that's the best way to hunt elk every year. Now, if you're going to play the point system and have a state rotation and you're hunting elk every year, you're building skills, but you still want to get into some of these better units eventually, like my plan, I would say pick that 0 to 8 unit and hunt it 2, 3, 4 times. Maybe if you have a 3-point unit you really like, you hunt it every 3rd, 4th year, you're hunting elk in other states on the off years or an over-the-counter tag, you're getting really good at elk hunting and you're getting really good at that unit. You're going to shoot some big bulls. That's the secret to shooting big bulls, is hunting elk every year. I personally don't think it's worth chasing the top-tier units, because it can take you, especially as a non-resident, up to 20 more years if you want the best units with the best seasons. I don't personally think it's worth it. I would rather use other states to build long-term trophy potential. Arizona's one, New Mexico's one, Utah's one of mine. Those are the 3 states that I'm looking at for trophy tags, limited entry, once-in-a-lifetime tags. I've already had mine in North Dakota, so I probably already got my once-in-a-lifetime elk tag, but that's my breakdown on the elk points and the elk application season as a whole. So real briefly, we're going to switch over to antelope. Antelope in Colorado. They took a big hit last winter, especially in the northern part of the state. And Colorado isn't considered a trophy antelope state anyway. Generally, most units of the biggest bucks you're going to find are 70 to 75 inches, which, once again, I think that's a pretty good buck. I would shoot a 70 to 75 inch antelope all day long. But if you're chasing giant antelope, I would say you might want to look at New Mexico, Nevada, Wyoming, some of these other states. But the draw odds are relatively good, and it's cheap to apply. If you're already applying for elk or deer or building points, it's really cheap to apply for antelope, and there's a lot of different terrain in Colorado that you can find antelope in, which is kind of nice. Obviously, the east side is ag and it's flats, which is very common for antelope country, but the west side, you can get into some mountain sagebrush openings and the aspen. Kind of makes for a really cool experience if you're looking for something new to chase antelope in. The top units for antelope do see 80-plus potential, but the rifle tags are a little hard to draw. It might take a while, but you might be able to get into these a little earlier if you're willing to hunt with a bow or with a muzzleloader, which I get it. Bow hunting antelope without a water hole could be a little tricky on public land, but people do it. And I'm also seeing the same 45 units that you can draw in Colorado with 100% odds, 0 points. So there's lots of opportunity out there to get an antelope tag in Colorado as well. So one thing to note, on the antelope hunting, a lot of antelope are found in lower elevations. That's where the private land is. So make sure you're checking either Go Hunt Maps or some mapping service to make sure you've got access to public land if you're planning on hunting public land where you draw your antelope tag. I always check the map, check the public before I apply for any tag, but especially for antelope, it becomes a big deal really fast because they spend pretty much their whole life down in the lowland where the private land is. So that's the breakdown for Colorado elk, Colorado antelope. That rounds out our Colorado application season. Keep in mind, also, there's a bear season as well. We're just not covering it here on the bonus series. But go out there. Don't forget about the Go Hunt Insider Sale. That's huge. $100 free gear, and you're going to get all the tools you'll ever need to find units to hunt, find better units to hunt, get better draw odds, get elk tags every year, get deer tags every year. Know when you're going to hunt, know what units you're going to hunt. It's a great sale. I've never seen a better sale than this. So if you're hesitant on Go Hunt, I've never seen it get a better deer shop credit than $100 when you use the code Western. So go over there, check it out. You'll see why I love it, and you'll see a lot of information. You're going to spend hours on Go Hunt trying to find new units once you get Insider. That's what I've been doing. That's what everyone I've ever helped get set up with Go Hunt says. They cannot believe the amount of information that is out there and how easy it is to use and find the information. So last reminder on that, go get signed up. March 24th through April 7th, Go Hunt is giving you $100 to sign up for Insider using the code Western. Thanks for being here today. Go get a tag. Go fill a tag this fall. And we're out.